Today, our scripture lesson is coming from John chapter 18, verses 33 through 37. This is a conversation between Pilate and Jesus. Pilate went back to the palace. He summoned Jesus and asked, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own, or have others spoken to you about me?" Pilate responded, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your nation and its chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus replied, "My kingdom doesn't originate from this world. If it did, my guards would fight so that I wouldn't have been arrested by the Jewish leaders. My kingdom isn't from here." Pilate said, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. I was born and came into the world for this reason, to testify to the truth. Whoever accepts the truth and listens to my voice." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Before we go into our second scripture lesson this morning, let us say together the affirmation of faith. O come, let us praise the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into God's presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise with songs of praise. Know that the Lord who made us is God. We are the Lord's. We are the people of God. We give thanks to God, for God is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. O come, let us praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. We have a second scripture reading this morning from Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. I, John, am writing this letter. I am sending it out to the seven churches in Asia Minor. May grace and peace come to you from God. He is the one who is and who was and who will come. May grace and peace come to you from the seven spirits. These spirits are in front of God's throne. May God's grace and peace come to you from Jesus Christ. He is the faithful witness, so that what he has shown can be trusted. He was the first to rise from the dead. He rules over the kings of the earth. Glory and power belong to Jesus Christ, who loves us. He has set us free from our sins by pouring out his blood for us. He has made us members of his royal family. He has made us priests who serve his God and Father. Glory and power belong to Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen. Look, he's coming on the clouds. Every eye will see him. Even those who pierced him will see him. All the nations of the earth will mourn because of him. This will really happen. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. I am the God who is and who was and who will come again. I am the Mighty One. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, my God, my rock and my redeemer, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. I listened to a sermon by a Catholic priest named Father Michael Reniger, and he talked about questions and the subsequent choices that we make that change the trajectory of our lives. An acceptance letter from a university: will you go to Duke or to Asbury? A job offer: will you take this job or that job? Will you move from this state to that state? A marriage proposal: will you spend your life with this person? This Sunday is the last Sunday in the Christian calendar year. It's the Sunday right before Advent begins, and we call this Sunday the Reign of Christ, or Christ the King Sunday. Regardless of the church calendar or what we call this day, we have heard a powerful portion of John's gospel and then a vision from John about who God is through Jesus, Christ the King. As we read John's gospel, Jesus was on trial. The Jewish authorities have already called for his crucifixion, and then Jesus was standing before Pilate, the Roman governor. In Rome, trials, the usual legal practice, was that the governor asked the question and the prisoner answered. But did you hear how Jesus questioned him? So at first, everything seems to go according to the legal standard. Jesus stands before Pilate, asks him the question, and Jesus stands before Pilate and answers. Pilate asks, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And then Jesus says, "Why do you think that?" He's always very rhetorical. He's always asking the questions. You ask Jesus a question, and he asks you a question in return. It's not clear if Pilate really understands what this question implies. Pilate is a political leader, and it seems that he is viewing Jesus through a purely political lens. Pilate's questions implies that he thinks that Jesus has come to collect earthly power just like any other geopolitical leader. Later in the scene, Jesus does answer Pilate's question. Jesus is a king, but he is unlike any king the world has ever seen. His kingdom is not a geographic territory. He has no earthly troops ready to fight Roman legions. Jesus is not seeking to take dominion over a certain territory. He does not favor one place over another. But his kingdom is real, because his kingdom, his reign, is revealed whenever anyone listens to the truth of God and puts God's truth into action, especially in our relationships with each other. Pilate first asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" So Jesus puts Pilate on trial by asking him, "Are you saying this on your own, or have others told you this about me?" Notice how this unfolds. Pilate first asks, "Are you a king?" And Jesus immediately asks, "Are you saying this on your own, or are you saying this because someone else told you about me?" If Pilate had really paid attention to Jesus' question, it could have changed his life. Why do I say that? Because Jesus' question contains a fundamental truth. And the truth is, Pilate's life, your life, my life, will not really be changed if our only experience of Jesus comes from what other people tell us about him. Pilate's life, your life, my life, will be totally transformed if we have personal experiences, a personal relationship, a personal understanding of who he is and what he's done and how much he loves us. And then, when we know that, if we allow him to lead our lives, to be Lord, to reign, we don't use that kind of kingship, Lord, reigning language in the majority of our world anymore. I was going to do a children's message about how parents are the kind of lords of their children. They have to ask you, you know, "Can I go to a friend's house? You know, can I have a phone? Can I have dessert after dinner?" And you get to answer that. What if we went to Jesus with the questions of our lives about how we were going to live? When Pilate asks Jesus, "Are you a king?" the question was based on what other people had told him about Jesus. But Pilate's life could have been changed. Would have been changed if he had listened to the truth of what Jesus preached, or pondered the power of his compassionate miracles, or simply paid attention to the way that Jesus treated the least of those who were around the city. If Pilate had listened to the good news of the kingdom of God coming to reign without any soldiers or political power at all, and personally allowed Jesus' truth to take root in him, he would have realized that Jesus is indeed a king like unlike any other. He can and does rule our hearts and minds and our spirits if we let him. He speaks a truth that addresses every human need. He pours out love which can change lives. But Jesus can only be the king of your life. You can only participate in his kingdom if you open your heart and personally allow Jesus to rule over your life. There's a theologian, and I'm forgetting her name, but she reframes kingdom, the kingdom of God. Drop the G, the kingdom, the family of God, the kingdom, instead of the kingdom, because Jesus invites us to be a part of his family. We inherit the title of son and daughter, child of God, when we allow God to rule our lives, when we accept his mercy and grace. Your life will not be changed simply by listening to someone else talk about Jesus. Your life will be changed by creating enough space for Jesus to speak to you, by spending time singing songs of praise, reading scripture, and being formed as a disciple, by attending Bible study and reading scripture on your own, by being in relationship with the family of God. This is not a solo venture. One of my favorite parts of my job is getting to hear people's stories. I was talking to someone last week, and he was telling me about his wife's career, and he beamed with pride, even if he didn't totally grasp the complexities of her job. In preparation for a funeral, I get to hear the stories of a person's life, about their passions and their quirks. But your life is actually changed when things happen to you. I can admire what you are and how your story goes, but nothing about your life changes my life unless the wonderful things are happening to me. So if you hear a story about how someone gets proposed to, the love of their life drops to their knees and asks them to spend the rest of their lives together, that's a beautiful story. But it's only as beautiful as when it happens to you, when your love asks you to spend your life together. Similarly, it's interesting and instructive to hear someone else talk about Jesus, the Lord of their life. You can even come to church and say, Jesus is Lord, but your life is actually changed when Jesus looks at you and asks, are you saying this on your own, or has someone else told you about me? Are you ready to let Jesus' questions change your life? 2,000 years of Christian experience demonstrates that Jesus will ask us a lot of questions, every one of which can change your life if you listen. For instance, Jesus may say to you, it's nice that you wear a cross or a crucifix around your neck, but do you really have my spirit in your heart? It's good that you know that you're a sinner, but are you ready to confess your sin and to stop doing it? It's good that you're a member of a church. Still, are you simply an observer of the faith or a believer and a doer? When I stand before the throne of Christ, I don't think he's going to ask me how many scriptures I memorized. But I suspect he might ask me, how did reading the scripture help you to know me and change how you live? I'm not sure that Christ will ask me, how often did you receive communion or participate in the Lord's Supper? I suspect he will ask me, did you practice what you preach? We say here, you are what you eat. So if I consume Christ and let him live in me, then I should look like Christ. I don't think Christ will ask me, how often did you hear a sermon about forgiveness? But he might ask, how often do you forgive? Christ won't ask me, how much earthly wealth did you amass? But he might ask, how did you give away what God gave to you? How often do you pray for justice in the world? How did you actually work to make the world more just? How many things could you cram into one day? He will ask, how did you put your spouse and your children and people first? Busyness is not a virtue. We are not on trial today, but we are worshiping Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the beginning and the end, the one who knit us together in our mother's womb, the one who will welcome us when we pass through the doorway of death, that Savior who loves us so much that he asked the question, do you really want Jesus to truly lead your life? Are you willing to let him reign? Do you want to be part of the kingdom of God? It's not perfect. How many of you are going to family dinner? Will there be any kind of squabbling about a dish? Or the kingdom is not a perfect place, but it is a good place filled with love and laughter. So if Jesus says, do you want to be a part of it? If Jesus pops the question, I hope you say, I do. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, we give thanks for you this day and every day, for your mercy and love, for your kindness and goodness, for all that you are that you enable us to be in response to who you are. Help us to live honestly. Help us to speak kindly. Help us to show up wherever there is a need and to be your hands and feet. We thank you that you go before us, that you stay behind us, that you are the small voice that gives us comfort. And that even when the world is spinning in chaos, you calm the seas and you give us comfort. God, we lift up all of the joys that we carry in our hearts as we prepare to experience a day of family and friends and food. And we lift up the sorrow as we long for even a phone call with someone who is not going to be at the table this year. God, help us to allow you to rule our hearts. And so we pray together the prayer that leads us as the gathering at Scott Memorial. God, help us to gather with you to feed the body, mind, and spirit while being Christ's hands and feet. Help us to love and serve our local community. In Jesus' name we pray.